next to you and go, "Dude, way to go." There you go. Let's pray. God, a gift it is to be here with you. Thank you for your presence by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray that you would touch our eyes that we would see, our ears that we would hear, our minds that we would understand, and most importantly, Holy Spirit, we welcome you to touch our hearts that we would receive this day from your word, redemption and life. May then the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Reflecting on Da Vinci's The Prodigal Son painting, or Rembrandt's, I guess it is, Prodigal Son painting, Henry Nouwen writes about being a child of God. He says, "Although claiming my true identity as a child of God, I still live as though the God to whom I am returning demands explanation. I still think about his love as unconditional and about home as a place I am not yet fully sure of. While walking home, I keep entertaining doubts about whether I will be truly welcome when I get there. As I look at my spiritual journey, my long and fatiguing trip home, I see how full it is of guilt about the past and worries about the future. I realize my failures and know that I have lost the dignity of my sonship. But I am not yet able to fully believe that where my failings are great, grace is always greater. Still clinging to my sense of worthlessness, I project for myself a place far below that which belongs to the Son." Do you ever feel like that? I mean, we know that God indeed calls us as sons and daughters. And Jesus, speaking the parable of the prodigal son, reminds us that God, our Heavenly Father, waits to embrace us as we come home. This is what Jesus is talking about here in the Gospel of John, or more accurately, what John professes about Jesus. In verse 10, he reminds the hearer, us today in particular, that he, Jesus, was in the world. And though the world was made through him, we go back to the very first verse, that Jesus was with God and Jesus was God at the time of creation, in the beginning. Though Jesus made the world did not recognize him. He, Jesus, brings us then back to the central focus of the prologue, this introduction to the gospel in chapter 1. In the world means the incarnation. So not only in the beginning did Jesus create the heavens and the earth and all that is. In fact, nothing that is was not created by Jesus. But Jesus himself then stepped into creation. God made flesh, the incarnation. Though the world was made through him. You see, God stands over creation. Jesus is supreme above creation, and yet still stepped in to our world. The world then, instead of recognizing their very own creator, one would think that you recognize the one who has brought you into being. Except we didn't. the world did not recognize him. The world did not recognize the Word of God. The world did not recognize Jesus. This world is only part of creation. The cosmos, this earth, and the sun and the moon and the stars and the galaxy around us is only part of creation. So John is going from the greater now to the lesser. And though all things were made, Jesus stepped into our created time and world. This is uniquely human. And the world did not recognize him. But here's what's interesting. John, as he writes, only talks about the world's lack of recognition. That means that the rest of creation, that which is beyond the cosmos, we would call it the earth and the things of the earth, that which is beyond the cosmos did recognize Jesus. In James chapter 2 and verse 19, James writes, "You believe that there is one God," as he writes to the church. He says, "Good, even the demons believe that and shudder." You see, there's something within us, the created, in the cosmos, in this world, that will not or does not recognize Christ as God. But the other created beings, the angels, the fallen angels, the demons, that we know of at least, recognize that Jesus is the Creator. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, pull them out. We're going to be flipping through Scripture today. There's a pew Bible there. If you didn't bring your Bible, we're going to be first in the Gospel now of Matthew. Flip back here a few books. And the 8th chapter, starting at the 28th verse. This is a story about two men in the time of Jesus that were possessed by demons. And Jesus comes upon them. They're Gadarenes. And Jesus comes upon them. And I want you to listen as we recount this story and how the demons label Jesus. When he arrived, that is Jesus, at the other side in the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. Verse 29, they asked Jesus, "What do you want with us, Son of God?" They shouted, "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Jesus, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." He said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. Did you hear the demons' response to Jesus? Though Jesus came incarnate, took on flesh into the world he created, we did not recognize him. However, the rest of creation did. The rest of creation does. They say to Jesus, "You are the Son of God." And then they ascribe to him power over them. Did you hear that part? They said to Jesus, the demons said to Jesus, "If you cast us out," well, guess what? Jesus is going to cast you out. With one word, by the way, go. The world did not recognize Jesus. And if we are children of the world, we still do not recognize Jesus. In verse 11, John gives us a little bit more detail. He, Jesus, the Word, came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Not only did the world, humanity, not recognize Jesus, but all the more, we didn't receive Jesus. That which was his own seems to now indicate the people of Israel, God's chosen. Of all people, we would say, God chose Israel, and God has spoken through the covenant, through the prophets, through the law, about Jesus, about the Messiah, about the Anointed One. Of all people, we think, Israel, yes, Israel, the chosen ones, will certainly recognize and receive Jesus. But that they did not. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 24, Jesus makes a pretty profound statement. Jesus said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. There's a special call, a special anointing. There was a special purpose for the incarnation of God the Creator in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And that is to redeem the lost sheep of Israel. But, says John, his own did not receive him. Again, if you have your Bibles, flip forward a couple of books to Romans chapter 9 and verses 1 through 5. Paul, a Jew, one of Israel, in fact, a Jew of Jews, he says, or a Pharisee of Pharisees, one who knows the law, one who is instructed by Gamaliel, like the quintessential teacher of first century Israel. But I don't have to tell you that. You already know it, right? Paul says this, I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. Paul says, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Here's the heart of a true evangelist. Paul is saying, I would count all of this for naught that my people, that Israel, would receive. But Israel has rejected. Israel decides to live in the world as children of the world. You see, what John is getting at here is that God, in the person and work of Jesus Christ, has presented himself that we might receive redemption, life in the kingdom. John continues in our gospel reading. He shifts gears now. Verses 10 and 11, he's talking about the world and children of the world who have rejected Jesus. And now, verses 12 and 13, he's going to talk about the children of God. Just when we thought things were beyond repair, just when we get to the verse 11 and we say, oy vey, there is no hope for Israel. There is no hope for the world. John gives us this hope. Yet, this one little word changes the whole tenor of the narrative. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Though rejection was the overwhelming reaction to Jesus, there was still a remnant from Israel. Yet, Romans 11, verses 1 through 5, and then 11 and 12. Jesus came to Israel predominantly, But that trickled then, we'll talk about in a moment, down to the Gentiles. But in Romans chapter 11, Paul says, I ask then, did God reject his people? Who are we talking about here? Israel. Paul says, by no means, or may it never be, as I memorized this verse, may it never be, by no means. There's still hope because there's a remnant. Paul continues, I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. Don't you know what Scripture says in the passage about Elijah? How he appealed to God against Israel. Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me. And what was God's answer to him? I have restored for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. Did you hear that? So too, at the chosen time, in our time, this time, the end of times, there is still a remnant that has not rejected Christ Jesus. A remnant in Israel, but not only Israel, but as John continues, all who did receive him, to all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Romans chapter 11 and verses 11 through 12, Paul asks, again I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? And the answer is no. Though we rejected Christ, though the world did not recognize Jesus, God recognized us as his sons and daughters. Though we rejected God through Christ Jesus, God does not reject us, but calls us to himself as daughters and sons. Paul says, rather, because of their transgressions, he's talking about Israel, because Israel rejected Christ, salvation now has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. This is astounding. Throughout history, the history of God with humankind until the person and work of Jesus, God only came to Israel. Well, and to those few who happened to join Israel or whom God chose for his purposes, but now all people, Israel and Gentiles, those who believe are children of God. Verse 13, children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. I can't help but think that as John remembers, as John writes that we are born of God, he must have in mind the story of Nicodemus. Do you remember Nicodemus? We're going to get to it probably in 2033, I don't know, I'm guessing, October 2033 perhaps. In chapter 3 of the Gospel of John, we hear the story of Nicodemus, where Jesus replied to him, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Born of God. Born again. The children of God, meaning those who have been born again by water and the Spirit, as is recorded in John chapter 3. See what great love then. You know, what's interesting about the Gospel of John is that there are letters which John wrote later, after he wrote the Gospel, most likely. And these letters capture John's theology, and not just his thoughts, but also practical theology, his actually living of the faith. And so in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, See what great love the Father has, John can say, lavished on us, that we should be called. Did you pick up on that? Lavished on us that we, that you, that I would be called children of God. And that is what we are. This is the gift of the gospel for us today. That means good news. That we are children of God. And the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him, says John. Dear friends, now we are children of God. We don't have to wait. This work has been done for us. The story of two different groups of people today in our gospel. Those who are of the cosmos, the world, who rejected, who did not receive Christ Jesus. And those who are of the creator of the cosmos, who are called children, daughters, and sons of God. And so, now and continues. One of the greatest challenges of the spiritual life is to receive God's forgiveness. There is something in us humans that keeps us clinging to our sins and prevents us from letting God erase our past and offer us a completely new beginning. Sometimes it even seems as though I want to prove to God that my darkness is too great to overcome, while God wants to restore me to the full dignity of sonship. I keep insisting that I will settle for being a simple hired servant. But do I truly want to be restored to the full responsibility of son? Do I truly want to be so totally forgiven that a completely new way of living becomes possible? Do I trust myself in such a radical reclamation? Do I want to break away from the deep-rooted rebellion against God and surrender myself so absolutely to God's love that a new person can emerge? Receiving forgiveness requires a total willingness to let God be God and do all of the healing, restoring, and renewing. As long as I want to even do a part of that myself, I end up with partial solutions, such as becoming a hired servant. As a hired servant, I can still keep my distance, still revolt, reject, strike, run away, or complain about my pay. As the beloved son, I have to claim my full dignity and begin preparing myself to one day become like the Father. Christian friends, church family, can you see what great love the Father has lavished on you, has given us, that we should be called children of God? But that is what we are. Dear friends, now we are the children of God. Amen. Please stand now, and as a response to God's word, give him